What's going on, everybody? Josh Engelman and Ben Razzett here for AwesomeO.com, and we are back with another PGA Contenders for the PGA Championship. So please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when this and all of our other content goes live. And now we can pat me on the back once again, because I got another one, 1 for 3 this week. Vegas showing up in the top 10. I only had him top 20. I had some wiggle room.
I'm not happy. It's never both. This is supposed to be a team effort show, and we just rotate. I hit one, you hit one, I hit one, you hit one. We're staying afloat. There's no doubt. We talk each week. We preach. When you're talking about outrights and you're talking about even top 5, top 10, top 20, you hit one or two on your card, it's going to go a long way to recovering a lot of swings and misses. That's just the nature of golf betting. So I am excited for you, but I kind of rather it was me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought that I was going to go 2 for 3 last week after Thursday's showing from Aaron Wise, because he went absolutely nuts. Didn't hold on to that sort of Thursday form, unfortunately. But things were looking pretty good out of the gate.
These courses, obviously, week to week, they change drastically. Last week was, go low, keep going low. You have to keep your foot on the gas. Obviously, we turn the page to Kiwa Island and the Ocean Course. This is going to be a little more, your guy posts around in the 60s. You're going to move up the board pretty much regardless. And I like that a little more. It's tough to see someone shoot 65 and not really make much progress on the board.
All right. Would you like to go first or second? I won the toss, so I'm going to defer.
You're going to defer. Okay. I'm going to actually, I like to defer, but I'm going to set the pace. I'm going to set the tempo. I'm going to go first here. And there's no chance, 0% chance that we are going to dupe on this one, because I don't think you play this guy. You refuse to do it. There's a reason for that. It's probably Wise. It's not Aaron Wise. It's Tommy Fleetwood, 75-1 to win this tournament. It's one of these situations. I know that we're all waiting and hoping that Tommy Fleetwood eventually is going to break through. Certainly a couple years ago, it was a question of not if, but when. Now I think it's more a question of if, honestly, but this is still the same guy in my mind in a lot of regards. We've seen him show flashes. It's not nearly as consistent, but he was good at Wells Fargo. He came in 14th, but more importantly, he gained strokes in all four categories. That's always a sign for me of a guy that's trending upward. And listen, has it been some time? Yes, but this is a guy who was the runner-up at the Open, who was the runner-up at the U.S. Open, who was fourth at the U.S. Open, who was fifth at the Players. He has a boatload of top-end finishes in top-end fields. And those courses, particularly those U.S. Opens, whether it's Shinnecock or wherever else, he can handle it. Wind, weather, length. These are things that I'm not worried about with Tommy Fleetwood. I think it's more a question of where is his game. But I think when you talk about things like that, it impacts the floor. It's more of a concern in DFS than it is for an outright market. I still think the ceiling for Tommy Fleetwood is world class, and 75-1, even in a major level field, is where I'm going to get my cards started.
Well, you were right. I don't have Fleetwood outright. It would be really interesting if I did have him like top 10 or top 20, but we don't even have that overlap. I'm going a bit of a different direction. I'm going to take someone that I actually think is going to win this tournament, unlike you. So I think that you'll be okay with this one. We shall see. 30-1 outright pretty much everywhere right now, and that would be Daniel Berger. He's having a truly sensational 2021. He was exceptional in 2020. Just been on a hot run of golf for a while now. Tied for third at the Byron Nelson. Has a win this year at Pebble. And there are a lot of guys right now that are ahead of him in the betting odds that I think that he has just simply been better than over the past 18 months. The miscut at the Masters is not really great, but I think he rebounded pretty well at the Players, T9. And of everybody in the top 10 of odds for this tournament, I think that Berger has the biggest gap between his actual skill set and where those odds lie. So I wanted to grab the guy that I thought was actually the best in the top 10 right now. And to me, that's Berger.
He's a tough one, I'm not going to lie. So Daniel Berger, obviously, he had a wrist injury. Now, that was a while ago. And since he's been healthy, he's shown that he's a world-class player. There's no debate. But he does have a profile. And to me, it's more of a par 70 technical layout like Sawgrass. Now that's Pete Dye, and there are some similarities, but this is a monster course. So I think if you think you can survive the length, I get why you're going there. I think that's the one question with Berger this week. So I'm kind of indifferent on the pick. He's someone that I think we're going to talk a lot about in the DFS world. Obviously, stay tuned for those shows. There's no doubt about it, but he's an interesting one. 30 to 1 is a good price. I'll give you that. I'm going for the cycle, as we do a lot. I'm going to try to hit 3 for 3. So I'm moving down to the top 10 market.
You've been hitting the cycle a lot lately, though. 0 for 3, 0 for 3, 0 for 3.
That's cool. You gotta warm up, and then it only takes one. Neither of us have done that. Obviously, if one of us gets that, you'll know, because it will be tweeted and retweeted ad nauseum. This is probably my favorite of the three bets. Going to top 10, we easily could dupe here. 5 to 1 for Paul Casey. Paul Casey is a guy that is just playing, similar to Berger in a lot of ways, he's just playing good golf, and he's been doing it for a while. Whether he's on the European Tour, and certainly he spends most of his time here, it's just a ball-striking clinic. And all you hear about Kiwa Island, I saw many interviews, everyone says the same thing. Got a ball strike. You need to ball strike. Obviously, length always helps, but you need to know what you're doing. This is a guy that he's basically automatic with the irons. He's been positive in the approach in every event this year. He came in second last year at the PGA. Obviously, that was at Harding Park. Totally different course, but it's not like he can't do it. And Paul Casey was known for years as a guy with no upside, and he has changed that. He is competing. He is winning some tournaments. There is no reason another Euro, and that's going to be a theme for me, that can handle these conditions. And you're getting 5 to 1 on just a quality finish, never mind a win.
This one's really wild. I thought you were about to introduce my second pick here. I am also in the top 10 market. He is also plus 500 for this spot, but I'm going to Corey Connors. And I really did think, oh no, sorry.
Do you really think I would ever mention Corey Connors though?
Probably not, but no. I didn't expect you to read off the exact same scenario for me. I mean, at that point in time, I was like, there were only so many options that it could have been. Anyway, Connors is clearly having a great 2021. Didn't have the best finish at Wells Fargo. The putter wasn't there, but he's made 8 straight cuts. And in 4 of those 8, he's been in the top 10. API, Players, the Masters, and RBC. The putter used to be a problem, and now it's not a problem. It's basically neutral. If the putter can just be slightly hot, just a little bit, his off the tee game, his approach game will have him in contention on Sunday. You can get him for plus 240 to finish top 20. I do like that line as well. But for this particular exercise, just putting it out there, I'm going with the top 10 at plus 500.
Makes a hole in one every week. So you've got that going for you.
I'll take that again here.
Yeah, he just does that. Now, his ball striking is elite. It's been elite. We used to say if this guy could ever putt, watch out. He's learned how to putt a little, and he certainly held it neutral, and we've seen the results. Another guy, I think this is where we're differing a little bit. He's another one. Can he handle this length? Now, it's going to play firm and fast. There's going to be bounces. I just worry a little about, can he endure if he's a little offline? He's got to keep it in the fairway. He's got a chip. It's a big if, but I see where you're going. That is not a guy that I'm on, obviously, but the ball striking numbers do not lie. He's been positive tee to green in every single event this season, so I get it. All right, my last pick, another Euro, top 20. You don't have to worry. Not a guy you're going to. 6 to 1 to top 20, so a nice price there on Alex Noren. This is a guy that I absolutely loved last week. You see my tweet each week where I pick my, you know, string of things. He was my favorite golfer. And for 3 rounds, I felt fantastic. He was in the hunt. And in a tournament like that, if you don't keep your foot on the gas, we saw what happened. He ended up 21st, but that does not tell the story of how he played last week. He's been playing better. He's trending upward. And I think it's a little misleading when we see that result from last week. This is also a guy that he's got a ton of experience in Europe, and I do think there's something to take from that. There's a Lynx style-esque, you know, format to this course. I'm not saying it's a true Lynx course because it's not, but I think Noren benefits from that. He also played the course in 2012. You know, again, that was a long time ago. I'm not taking the result, but he's been around. So I just look at his game. He's certainly apt to scramble up and down. He can make his fair share of putts. Can he survive off the tee? I honestly don't know. But you know what? That's who Noren is. That's a big if every week. You're going to give me 6 to 1 on a top 20 for a guy that's got experience. I'm willing to take it.
We were pretty close on this top 20 for odds. Like I was for a second, I thought maybe I missed one and we're in that same sort of area again. I'm also going to the top 20 market plus 550 for Charlie Hoffman. Hoffman is having his best year since 2017, and he's been ultra hot over the past few months. Got a second at Valero, tied for seventh at Pebble. He's made eight straight cuts after a withdrawal cut stretch in late January, which is not at all where I really want to be. He's finished in the top 20 in five out of his last six events, and I can get him for plus 550 in this spot. To me, that's I just love that the value that I'm getting out of a T20 here. He's gained strokes in all facets of the game for this season, which is what I'm kind of looking for. I don't need extremes to get into the top 20. I'm looking for consistency, and he's been ultra consistent this year, and the fact that I only need this to hit like even less frequently than one in five, that works for me.
I like that. I have absolutely no problem with Charlie Hoffman. I think it speaks to a different dynamic. You know, when I envision Charlie Hoffman, maybe it plays a little easier. He can really pin hunt, certainly lean on the approach. The guys that I've targeted, maybe I want the wind to pick up a little more and wreak some havoc, because I think the Euros are more apt to see that. These greens are not going to be fast because they can't set them fast because of the ocean potentially being a problem. So I think that's just two different scenarios. And that's my favorite thing about golf like this. You can plan different cards, you can play the what if game, and you can build accordingly. So you've got some different types of picks here. I feel pretty good. I mean, I have Tommy Fleetwood. That could be a problem. You took a more apt outright winner, but I'm getting a much better 75-1 if I ever hit it. That'll pay for contenders videos for the next like 3 years. So I've got that going for me.
I was going to say, we do one of these a week for 52 weeks, and you're still good if you're just talking about outright. So that's not too shabby at all. And here we are, another PGA contenders in the books. I'm looking for three straight weeks with a dub. Where are we heading next week? Do you have any idea?
I really don't. Sometimes we know and we say we don't know, but this one I really don't know. You know what? It's all about a major this week. We'll deal with next week next week.
Yeah, you do. Who's prioritizing the week after a major? Certainly not I. So one last reminder, everybody. Please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell. Depending on where you're watching this, go back and watch the PGA Strategy Show or tune in live for PGA Live Before Lock. If this is a Wednesday and you're watching it, it will be tonight. If this is a Tuesday and you're watching it, then it's tomorrow. But either way, we appreciate having you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back again next week for another edition of the PGA Contenders.